Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a relationship coach, but I started out as a life coach. And you know what? 20 years ago, when this industry just really took off, people said, "What's a life coach?" And I thought, you know what? A coach is someone who helps you score in a game of life, right? And that's strategy, that's support, that's discipline. And that's equipment, right? You got to have a game plan for the game, whatever game you're playing. Hey, baseball, football, it doesn't matter. Basketball, you got to have the equipment and you got to have the strategy. But you really do need the encouragement and support. But unfortunately, a life coach, well, you know what? That was a cool thing to call yourself. So people said, yeah, I'm a life coach, when they were multi-level marketing really weird health product. Or some people who were gurus who taught transcendental meditation, yeah, they didn't want to be frowned on, so they called themselves life coaches. And at some point, people said, yeah, life coach, that's a scam artist. And I thought, you know what? I really should probably just have a specialty. So by this point, it had been about 10 years into my career, and people said, yeah, you need to find a niche. Think of it like a doctor. You could be a general practitioner, but if you're a specialist in something, that makes you more credible. Okay, so I kind of took an inventory of what I had been doing for about 10 years. And then before I started as a coach, what I had been doing in my life for 20 years. Yeah, people, relationships. I think a lot of when people came to me as a life coach, they could have a goal in their career. They could have a goal in their health. Maybe financially, whatever it was. But the common theme, the consistent element of what people wanted to know from me about me, yeah, how do I get along with people? I really love certain people in my life, but we can't stop fighting. Or, you know what, I hate this person in my life, but we work together and we're not going away, and I want to stop fighting with this. I can't even fight with them. I can't even be in the same room with them. Or, wow, you know what? I love my son, but I don't think I like his wife, and I have to behave myself because I don't want to hurt my son. Okay, yeah, let's talk about relationships. I really like the idea of synergy. That's why I call my show and now my business Synergy Coaching. The power. Now, what is power? First of all, forget it. Let's just define synergy. If you look it up on the internet, it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Yeah, we don't add to each other. We don't even multiply each other. We empower each other. That's exponential. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what responsibility comes with that kind of power? Do you feel responsible for the things that you do? My question then is, who do you feel accountable to? Because really, responsibility is about rendering an accounting for the consequences of your actions. Who do you believe that you will render an accounting to? Some people say a higher power. Okay, that's pretty simple. That's pretty basic. If you have a religious or a spiritual pursuit in your life, you do know that there's a source of something greater that you do need to think about, and you do need to appreciate and respect and trust as a source of authority. But you know what? Not everyone is religious. Some people say the universe in the form of nature, right? Because what I do in the world does have a consequence. What goes around comes around. That's a principle. Yeah, that's even scientific. People who are analytical and logistical, they really do understand that there are certain consequences for your actions. So I do accept the responsibility for what happens. You know what? Actually, I feel more almost accountable to my kids, because as a mother, when I was raising them and I said, do certain things in a certain way, and they would look at me, I felt, wow, I felt obligated to be an example to them. And when I did something that I shouldn't have done, I did feel bad. I felt guilty in a different way than when I had committed a sin. Well, sin's pretty easy to define, right? It's evil things that you shouldn't do that are morally wrong. Come on, we all know common sense. We know what's morally wrong. But when I did something bad, just as a mean thing or a hypocritical thing, or I was lazy, or, and they would look at me and say, "Why did you do that?" And I couldn't come up with any other answer than because I was being stupid or selfish or lazy. And they looked sad. Wow, okay, that got to me on a very different level than my moral accountability to a higher power. And yeah, people don't feel that accountability anymore. I've noticed that, and that kind of concerns me. But one of the things I always tell people is there's no inertia, there's no lack of movement, the mobility of our emotional energy. We have an impact on other people. And the things that we're doing in our life, even if physically we're standing still, we still have emotional and mental activity that we're performing inside of ourselves. That's movement in life. And as a soul, whether you believe you have a soul that leaves your body when you die, or you are a soul that envelops your spirit, right? I happen to believe that I have a spirit, that I'm not a soul until my spirit comes into my body, because it's my mind and my heart and my body that are all working at the same time. You have thoughts and feelings. You are either moving forward or you're moving back. And I describe that to people in the way of there's no neutral energy. It's either positive or negative. Wow. Okay. So now let's think about that. One of the things I wanted to ask people in the community, excuse me, just because there's so much negativity politically in what's going on in the world today, I really did want to know their opinions about negative topics. Now, this is tricky because when I say to people, this is a very touchy subject, what's going on with Donald Trump and Kamala Harris? We've got actually, since I'm in Phoenix, Donald Trump came into town on Friday, and I was asking people, "Hey, does everybody here know that Donald Trump is coming into town?" And some people were like, "He is?" Other people were like, "Yeah, but I'm going to the concert." Some people actually said, "Yeah, and I'm staying the hell away from Glendale." I thought, "Whoa, I can't believe this." I thought Arizona was a red state. So I kind of asked some people just some conversational questions about what they thought and how they felt about this. I couldn't believe people actually said that they thought that Donald Trump had staged his shooting, that it wasn't really an attempted assassination. They don't trust him. And then there's the, yeah, well, he's kind of a stupid jerk. Okay, so they really don't respect him. Okay. That concerned me too, because again, I thought Arizona was a red state. I thought Republican was the preferred, political orientation here. Yeah, no, they're calling now Arizona a purple state. And I thought, okay, you know what? This isn't just about politics anymore. This is genuinely about the synergy, okay, of what's going on with the people that live here. They're getting very negative in their attitudes. Okay, negative attitude. We got some bad emotional energy here. Now, before I get into any kind of detail, I just want to remind people that your attitude is infectious. It is contagious. And so while there's never neutral energy, because even if you're indifferent, that's negative because it's not positive. When you are around people, your attitude affects them. So the people that I started to talk to in a casual way on public transportation, I love public transportation. They had a lot to say, and it was tough to kind of just get them to stop fighting with me over how they felt about things that I haven't even brought up yet. Then they said, "Oh, okay. Yeah, well, then let's have a good conversation." I want everyone now who's listening to know that I'm opening up the phone lines. If you have a question or a comment, I really am welcoming anybody's thoughts or feelings or opinions, because I'm going to be talking the rest of the show about how I spoke to about 250 people in the last 4 days about these topics. So yeah, I'm going to be sharing the things that people said to me. And if anybody, again, that I spoke to wants to come in and explain why they said what they said. The door is open, right, to the show. The number is 888-627-6008. And I handed out pieces of paper in case you threw away the paper or you misplaced it. That's the number to the station. My card has my cell number, but you can go ahead again, 888-627-6008. Now, when we're talking about motives and intentions and abilities, one thing I noticed is people don't really trust people's motives anymore. That is very sad because it's about what your primary purpose in life is. This is one of the things that I think broke my heart the most. The person that I live near, okay, actually said when I said, but Donald Trump is a very stupid man and he's mean. He's just a mean person. He literally loves to talk about how horrible everyone else is and how he genuinely doesn't care about them. And yeah, doesn't that bother you at all? And he said, well, at least he's honest. At least he's honest about being a jerk. Everyone else, you know what? They pretend like they're good people, but he's the only one who's honest about being a bad person. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and just process what you just said because he was very cynical, and that's the attitude. It's a very cynical world out there. People don't trust people's motives or their intentions or their abilities, but motives are really what's most important when people connect with people. So we're going to take a real quick break. And again, when we come back, the lines are going to be open, 888-627-6008. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, relationship coach. I've been on the radio for about 5 years, but I've been coaching as a career for about 20 years. And I've noticed, let's see, probably in about the last 4 weeks when Joe Biden said, okay, I'm going to accept the fact that I can't really do a good job here right now. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to my lady in waiting here, the vice president. Yeah, Kamala Harris. And look, I don't really stay up with politics. I don't really keep up with that because I'm not politically oriented. But I noticed that in my career, in my industry, in my neighborhood, people are getting very worked up over the negativity of what's going on. Now, I did some surveys in Glendale and Scottsdale and Phoenix, Arizona. I went to three different cities and I put out some questions. So again, everybody that I spoke to this week, I gave the number to the station, but for my listeners, it's 888-627-6008. And I asked them their opinion. Yeah, a lot of people, they're angry and they're defensive. And it took me a while as I literally would just walk into a business and say, hi, I'm from BBS Radio and I'm doing a survey of the greater Phoenix area. And the first thing they do is they look at me and say, what do you want? What do you want? What do you, why are you here? And I'm like, okay, I just want to know your opinion. Would you be willing to be honest with me? They would literally say, I don't know. I don't know. What do you want to ask me? And I said, okay, my questions are about respect and trust. And they said, wow. Oh, okay, now I'm kind of curious about the questions. Ladies and gentlemen, trust is about your confidence in people's motives. Okay, so the three questions that I posed were number one, can you respect a person that you don't trust? Number two, is trust more about a feeling or a behavior? And number three, is trust a gift you give someone when you first meet them until they do something to lose it? Or is it a privilege that you withhold until someone proves that they deserve it? And you know what was really nice? Again, you know, I asked several hundred people that, okay, what's the definition of respect? Man, we couldn't even agree on respect. And this is what I really liked about 35th Avenue in Glendale in Phoenix. It's the northwest corner of Phoenix. Yeah, we don't even know or agree about what respect is. There was a great diversity of different cultures, right? Different races. We had a lot of, you know, big companies, Walmart and Fry's and the Dollar Tree. And then we had a lot of mom and pop shops that just had a butcher or a specialist in a service or a product and a few mechanics, right? Not necessarily born and raised here, but it was really about trust and their respect. Well, you know what? They don't necessarily know if they trust or respect in the same way. Okay. One, actually, I think probably my favorite response was Middle Eastern men. There were two Middle Eastern men and a woman, and she made it very clear that she was not from Syria. She was from Assyria, but she was going to translate for me when I posed those questions. And I got to tell you, people in the Middle East are not like people in the United States. And people in Mexico, they're not like people in Venezuela or Cuba. And Americans, you know what? The generation difference, it's night and day. Okay, so when I posed the question to the lady to translate to the men, do you respect people that you don't trust? He had a conversation with her, and I thought, wait a minute, this is just a yes or no question. And she had to like rephrase it and rephrase it and rephrase it because apparently he didn't understand it. And I thought, whoa, this is insane. I wish I could speak their language. I wish I knew. And she busted up laughing. I said, wait a minute, why are you laughing? What did he say? What did he say? I want to know. And she said, yeah, no, I don't respect people. People respect me. And I went, okay, next question. Duly noted, yes. What is respect? You know what? We'll get to that. I still want to stick with trust, okay? Do people trust people? Oh, well, yeah, sorry. And by the time I got to the third question, when I say to people, do you trust them in the beginning? A lot of them would say, no, I don't trust. And then we would talk a little bit, and they're like, yeah, actually, I want to trust people. I do. And I know that's stupid of me to trust people, but I want to trust. I say, there you go. Good. It's not stupid. It's very wonderful and it's human. We want to connect with each other, and we can't connect if we don't trust each other. Yeah, that's an important thing. And we have the belief and the confidence that people do have good intentions. They really do want to be good to us. That means we are surrendering to them. We're vulnerable to them. That means we're opening ourselves up to the opportunity for them to hurt us. We're giving them the option and the opportunity to genuinely hurt us on some level. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. But when I say to people, it's okay to want to do that because it's better to go through life giving people the benefit of the doubt and then being disappointed, then being suspicious and critical and from the beginning, and then waiting for something to go wrong and going, see, I told you, I knew that was going to happen. All it's doing is confirming because, again, the synergy that you create with people. When I walked into places, I literally had to say to people, okay, I'm from BBS Radio, and I'm not politically, I'm not religiously, I'm not selling anything. I just want to know how you feel. Yeah, we do care about how other people feel, and we do want other people to care about how we feel. Because sometimes when people say, I don't care how you feel, that was the first thing that a lot of people said when it came to respect. The second question I would say is respect more about how you feel or what you do? A lot of people would say, no, you know what? It's about what you do, because we can't care about how people feel. It's too stressful to care about how people feel. People are tough. Okay, all right, I'll give you that. But at the same time, is it worth the investment to say, yeah, I'm going to take the time to care about how you feel enough to modify what I do? Because let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, how often do you hurt someone without knowing it? You didn't do it on purpose. People aren't maliciously pursuing opportunities to hurt people. And most of the time, if I were just to randomly, again, survey 100 people, and I said to them something about what had happened recently, do you know that you just hurt the person in your life that cares about you? How often would they say, I genuinely didn't know that, because the person didn't communicate that to them? Wow. And if I said to them, do you care that you hurt that person? They would say, yeah, absolutely. What could I do to heal that, to make it better, to fix it? They would do something. And they would do it absolutely sincerely, wholeheartedly. But unfortunately, when we surrender to trust people and we're vulnerable to them, we are open to being hurt, to being injured. That could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical. But when this teenage boy said, yeah, these are the two people in the world that I don't trust at all, his parents. Okay, now, how often did they deliberately hurt him, and how much would they do to heal that if they knew what that was? But when people don't trust you, they're less likely to communicate. Well, isn't that a little conundrum there? You have to earn that trust, but the only way you can earn it is if people give you the chance. That means they have to open themselves up to being hurt. Okay. So when we're talking about trust, how about just getting back to the intentions, appreciation of intentions? Because you know what? We're going to suck at certain things. We're just going to be very bad at certain things because we're imperfect people. And again, when we don't know what we're doing, or sometimes just because our personality is really bad at doing what you need that person to do, or they need you to do, it's really tough for you. How about appreciation of the effort that they made? What's that worth? If someone actually came up to you, and this is something, okay, I'm going to try really hard not to get emotional when I talk about this. Appreciating the people in your life. I want to give shout outs to three people that I appreciate so much, and I love them so much for how much I appreciate them. One of them is my producer. I had a hard time a few years back with something that was going on in the station. And I said, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. I just want to walk away from the radio business altogether. And he reached out to me and he said, no, hey, listen, I'm going to apologize for what happened. Give me one last shot. Give me another chance to earn your trust back. And I went, wow. First of all, his intentions were really good. And working with him, I knew that he was good at his job. But I trusted what he was saying to me as genuine sincerity of personal interest in me. And I thought, okay, you know what? Absolutely. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to base my career on the fact that I trust and appreciate and respect you. And in the last 2 years, he has been one of the most loving and generous and professional and supportive people in my life. And now I consider him a friend. And when I talk to him, when we're not on the radio, I tell him that I love him because I genuinely do appreciate and I trust him and I respect him. The second person is Constantine Duarte. Now, a few years back, I'm epileptic and I had a seizure in my church, in my church building. And I actually halfway out, halfway through the seizure, I ran out of the building because sometimes I do still function when I'm in the middle of having an attack. And he followed me. He saw what I was doing and he ran outside the building. And I guess it was a pretty bad seizure and I had fallen down and I was starting to hurt myself. He held me and then he carried me back in to the building and he carried me back to my husband. And I just went, wow, you know what? Half the people didn't even notice that I was doing this. And the other half, they were scared because it was a scary situation. But he really did know that it was his responsibility to take care of me. And he stepped up to the plate and he took action. I appreciate him so much and I respect him. But most importantly, I trust him because I could be vulnerable and weak and very much in danger. How often do we have people in our life who not only are they aware of our vulnerability, but they take the time and they care enough to take action to support us through that? And the third lady, the third person is a lady that she's gone now, but she was like my surrogate mother when I was growing up. She had a daycare, but I would go over there even when I didn't need to be daycared. I didn't need to be babysat. But my mom was hard for me to be around. And my stepdad, he was kind of a drama queen. And so I would say, yeah, I need to play cards with you. And she would play cards with me. And she knew that I was just trying to get away from a very toxic situation. And as I was growing up, I said, you know, I hate playing cards, right? She said, yeah, I love you too. Thank you for not hating me, for burdening you with my existence. And she said, sweetheart, I love you so much. I love you more than you love me. And I said, I don't think that's possible. And her macaroni and cheese, by the way, was absolutely horrible. And I think I ate it by the pound. Just because I loved her, I trusted her love for me. We're going to take a real quick break so I can regroup. And we're going to talk some more about the most important, deep, and profound issues that people genuinely have that they're scared to talk about. We're going to talk about them when we come back. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio and the Power of Synergy. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. I've been teaching people about how to get together with people and have good synergy, empower people to be better people. I did some surveys in the community in the last week for my show because I wanted to know how people were feeling about all the negativity that's going on politically in the world. Everything that we see on the news and that we hear. Look, go into a Starbucks where there's a group of people and they are arguing about how horrible this is. Now, I'm going to just pose a question. Oh, sorry. The number, if you want to call in again, is 888-627-6008. You can go ahead and give me your comments or even ask a question if you'd like. The phone lines are going to be open and my producer is paying attention. He'll let me know that you called in if you want to contribute to the discussion here. That people are really negative and they're very angry and they're very hurt. So one of the things that I ask people about the two candidates, the two political candidates, they could not be more different. But the great thing about that, in my opinion, was that they're bringing up a whole slew of different topics that were beside the issues. Look, okay, yes, we need to close the border. We need to get women's rights back. Yes, we need to have medical attention. We need to have services for the community about education, women's rights. Yeah, all that stuff is very important. But it's really about how do we feel about the future and how do we feel about each other? Are we going to work together or are we just going to keep fighting with each other? And when these two candidates are going to go at it, Are they going to just rip each other to shreds and make everybody who's watching them on the news want to do the same thing to each other? Okay, I am kind of scared about that. I'm kind of worried because people don't really look at what they have in common. One of the things I even made a joke about the other day, I think it was actually in a Wendy's, was it's not even about what candidate they like more that they're going to vote for. It's who do they simply hate less. Wow. Okay. So I was talking in the previous segment about how respect, yeah, you have to trust a person in order to respect them. But you know what? Culturally, some people say, no, I don't trust the people, but I still respect them because it's about how I behave. Respect is what you do. It's not about how you feel. And I thought, okay, wait a minute now. I understand that. But in a way, I disagree with it because what they were describing as respect, respectful behavior, that's just good behavior. And the fact that good behavior, consideration in the way that you treat people, giving them dignity and treating them with that dignity and consideration, that's considered respect. No, it's not. That's just behaving yourself. The definition of respect, hold on, let me pull it up. I actually did. Hold on, I see. Respect is, oh, didn't paste it here. It's about admiration and consideration for someone's abilities and genuine, oh, it could be a behavior of a composed and serious manner that includes dignity and honor. There you go. There you go. Honor. Excuse me. But we don't even know what honor is anymore. And that's the issue that I was trying to talk to people about and get their real thoughts and opinions about what is honor and good behavior. Let's just get that back to that's not an exceptional, you know, amazingly different than what you would do to everybody else. To me, respect is, I respect people who have shown me an exceptional skill or talent or ability that I admire. And I go, wow, you know what? I give you that extra consideration. Like one of the elders that was very important to me was Dan Whitmire. And as a little girl, I did to him what I did to Sharon. I literally would, after meetings or before we would do ministry service in my community, I would ask him questions or I would tell him things that were going on in my life. And I just really admired him so much. And I had so much honor and admiration for what he was, not just what he did. But when I was an adult, I saw him years and years later after I had moved out of the state. I just assumed I would never see him again because we were so far away from each other. We ended up crossing paths as adults. I saw him. I actually, oh God, I forgot about this part of the story. On the way to where we were going, I said to my husband, you know what? I would really like it if I could just meet with Brother Whitmire again. Do you think maybe we could stop by his house before we take off back to Arizona? And he said, yeah, that'd be great. Give him a call. But he didn't answer his phone. So I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe not this time. I should probably set something up because he's an SJ. And where we were going, I was about to walk out of the building. He walked in the door. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, Brother Whitmire. And I ran up to him and I squeezed him and I was hugging him so hard, I started crying. I said, I'm sorry, I can't let go of you. Is that okay that I can't let go of you? And he laughed. He's very introverted. He said, yeah, that's okay. And I finally got myself back together. And I said, okay, can I ask you something? And you'll be honest with me. I like that you're always honest with me. He said, yeah. And I said, okay, I know that I was a lot of work as a young girl, but if you could describe me in one word, and it can be a good or a bad word, just sum it up in one word, because he's an introvert, so I knew he would appreciate that. And he thought about it, and I thought, oh man, he's trying to sugarcoat this because he's going to tell me how horrible I am. I knew it. But I kept my composure, and he got this little smile on his face, almost a devious smile, and he said, enthusiasm. And I went, whoa, That's almost a compliment. And he said, yeah, you had a lot of energy and it was nice to be around. I really liked that about you. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom now and maybe I'll see you a little bit later. And I was very still and I was very serious. And he goes, you're going to cry again? And I said, yes, I am. Probably 10 times more than I just did when I held you. And he said, okay, maybe I'll see you at lunch. Wow, you know what? The respect that I had for him as a young girl, that actually molded the way that I interacted with the men in my life. Who do you respect, ladies and gentlemen? Who do you genuinely admire and appreciate to give honor, not just to behave yourself when you go into a job and you hate your boss because they're a horrible person, you're still going to behave yourself around them. That's just being a good person and being well behaved. Respect is consideration and admiration and genuine appreciation for what they are and who they are. Maybe, you know what? Maybe not even who they are. A lot of Hispanics, and I've noticed this too, especially in the Phoenix area, at least their position. So when they are around someone who is very, very bad, the way a lot of people would describe Donald Trump is a very bad person. But they still respect him because of his position and the work that he got done. Okay, see, now that's respect. We just need to get back to the basics of, yeah, we need to behave ourselves and we need to appreciate things about each other. Okay, now when we're talking about appreciation and respect and trust, we've talked about all three of those things, but when we really do have to apply them in our daily life, there are four I's that I talk about that they're kind of the get out of jail free cards for people. There's ignorance, there's indifference, there's impotence, and there's incompetence. Now, some of the conversations that I had, one of them was with a really great lady, and I think it was on the bus, maybe it was in a restaurant, because I remember I wasn't worried about time. So I was asking her questions about the things that politicians say that, you know what, half the time they know they're lying. Everybody knows that we know that they know that we know that they know that they're lying. So everybody just accepts that everybody's gonna lie. And I actually said, excuse me, hold on. I actually said to one lady, but what scares you more if they actually believe their own lies? Because one of the things that she said was, it almost sounded like this person believed what they were saying. And that scared me. I said, so what would scare you more? Someone knowingly, intentionally, proactively giving you information or promises that they know they're not going to follow through on, that they're not going to be able to fulfill. Or someone who genuinely believes what they're saying, they just don't realize that they don't have the power to make it manifest. They don't know how to accept that there are too many things working against them. They genuinely believe they can change the world. A lot of people say that they appreciate Kamala Harris because she has good motives and good intentions. But is she naive? Does she know that she can't really do any of these things? Well, that's why we have the Senate. That's why we have the House. We have Congress. We have individual states that pass their own laws in their own ways. Yeah, we have checks and balances. So what really can a president do? Well, they can motivate other people, sweetheart. It's the power of synergy. If we can motivate other people to do those things on their own, then we don't even need the politicians. Ah, see? But the lady that I was talking to, she said, no, when people actually believe what they're saying, then they're impotent. But they're also incompetent because part of that is knowing the truth and accepting it. The truth. Now, my dad told me when I was a very little girl, lying is scary. You can't lie. Yeah, you know what? It's very black and white. We got it in the judicial system in the United States. You got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you say anything more or anything less, it's a lie and it's a crime. Okay, well, when I was also a little girl, my congregation would read scriptures about how Satan was the father of the lie. Okay, so I don't want to be like from Satan. But when my father said it in a different way, it hit a different place inside of me. It struck a nerve. He said, when you lie to strangers, you're going to miss out on opportunities because they're not going to trust you. Number two, when you lie to friends and family, you die alone because they don't trust you. They're not going to want to be with you. But most importantly, number three, when you lie to yourself, you start to believe your own lies. You die alone. You don't even have yourself left. At least when you're alone, you're there. Yeah, you know what? When you believe your own lies, you're gone. You may as well just pack it up, sweetie, because it's all over. And he walked away. And I went, well, okay. 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 So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back again, we're going to be talking about the same topic, opening up the phone lines. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. I'm an author and a presenter. I've been doing this for about 20 years as a life coach and a relationship coach. I teach people how to communicate and to resolve conflict, but most importantly, to prevent conflict. And what I've been telling people this whole week when I was doing my survey work in the Glendale and Scottsdale and Central Phoenix area is we have to be honest with each other about how we really feel, but we can still be respectful and appreciate each other as we are being honest. And so the three questions that I asked, let me go ahead and get the results because I did write the results back. Okay, so let me look at the actual numbers. Okay, I asked a total of 268 people. Okay, three questions. The first one was, can you, oh, let me see. Do you respect people that you do not trust? And the percentage, you're going to love this. It was 58% said yes. Wow, that was so great. Now that might not seem like a lot. That means that 42% said no, but I was excited because more people said, yeah, they can respect people that they don't trust because it, for them, wait a minute, but then is respect a noun or a verb? Wait a minute, you know what? Then let's go back. What is, let's, well, but okay, but then that's the question. Is respect a noun or a verb? Is it about how you feel or is it about what you do? You know what? 68% said it's a verb. It doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. Okay. Well, then that made me ask the third question. Is trust a gift you give someone right away or a privilege that's earned? You know what? This is really nice. Hold on, let me get this back down here. 67% said that it's a gift that you give someone. Yeah, people are hopeful. They're optimistic. But they still have a positive energy. Okay. So even though when I first walked into these places and they would fight, they would want to fight about it. And they would, by the time it was, 30 seconds into the conversation and they could see that I was nice and I'm not political and I'm not religiously pursuing any kind of conversion and I'm not selling anything. They're like, wow, you actually care how I feel? And some of them would stop and they would actually think about it before they would give me their answer. But I wanted to tell you some of the other experiences that I had. One, I think probably the most interesting was a man who completely changed the subject. He had actually taken a course at the college, the local college here, about hatred. Oh my Lord, are you serious? We actually have our colleges teaching classes about hatred. He actually thinks hatred is a good thing. Okay, and I said, "What are you talking about?" I don't necessarily know that I agree with that. Well, the gentleman that he was debating with as I approached the bus stop to talk to them, he said, "Hey, you know what? Without hatred, we can't have love." And I went, "Wow, okay." So they're just getting a little bit of distortion here that, yeah, good comes with evil. But that doesn't mean evil has to be the source of good. And that concerned me because I'm thinking now, how often do we have things like anger or fear or anxiety? Those are negative things. They could actually potentially become positive ones. That's not the same thing with hatred. Hatred is actually an extremely excessively negative emotion to the point where you want to proactively hurt other people. Okay, so I'm just going to take exception to that personal opinion. You don't have to have a judgmental and malicious and harmful intention with the motivation to do damage in order to have the capacity for love. Because, and this is the other thing that I believe and I teach people, positive is more powerful than negative. Yeah, negative is pretty positive. It's pretty powerful. Excuse me. Negative is very powerful and it's very infectious. There were some times when I would go into an establishment, a business, and literally there were daggers coming out of the eyes of the employees. And I just said, you know what? I'm having a really good day and I'm having a really good time talking to people, even the ones that I disagree with, even the ones that I think are insane. And they're horribly wrong in every way, but I'm still having a good time. I'm not going to waste my time on you because you're going to put me in a bad mood, and I need to be in a good mood for the rest of the people that I talked to today. But I didn't tell them that. That's just what I thought. As I turned around and they said, "Yeah, can we help you?" I said, "Yeah, I really don't think you can. Okay, have a nice day." And I would walk out and go to the next business. When I was talking to people about their thoughts and feelings, yeah, the positive is more powerful than negative because for two reasons. First of all, because it has a lot more endurance. Hope springs eternal. That's the perfect example of it. When we have that positive energy and we have that hopeful attitude, we bounce back more and we pursue good things. And when I tell people about how my positive energy, yeah, people are either going to modify their attitude to come be with you, or they're just not going to like it. You're gonna piss them off when they want to be angry. They're not going to like it. The perfect example again. I was talking to a resident, yeah, where I'm staying, and he just absolutely kept trying to start a fight over and over and over, and he started yelling and was swearing and. And I didn't. And I said, okay, but you understand that what you're saying makes no sense. And it really upset him that I wasn't fighting with him. And so then he left. And I said, okay, well, let me know if you want to talk. Yeah, we can definitely stay positive and peaceful in our heart. And people who don't want to be positive and peaceful, they can't handle it and they go away. So that's good. You can actually sort and sift through the people in your life. Now, one of the things actually that I noticed, oh, one of the things that he said to me was, well, yeah, because you're watching the news. I know what channel you're watching. I said, really, do you? Because I watch CNN, I watch Fox, I watch the local Channel 15, and I watch BBC. And I actually like watching BBC the most because I get the international opinion of Americans. I'm not watching news to get the accurate information because I know it's not there. I'm watching news to get other people's opinions and the overview of what's going on so that I can talk to people about what matters to them. That's why I watch it, because I need to know what's going on in the world so I can understand why people feel the way they do. Because again, you have energy. I need to spend my energy pursuing people in a positive way to make the quality of their life better. I don't believe you have to have hatred. Things like anger and fear and anxiety, those are really good things inside of us that we can maximize because we can take all of the information that our emotions, our bodies are giving us. Anger is our body's way of saying something has gone wrong and we need to fix it. Great, let's fix it. But we don't have to use our anger as a weapon or fear. Fear is our body's way of saying something could potentially go wrong. Your life is in danger. Take action. Great. Make sure you find out what it is that you're actually afraid of, why you're afraid of it, and take action so that nothing bad has to happen. Or anxiety. Anxiety is our body and our mind's way of saying something could potentially go happen. I'm giving you a little heads up here. Make sure you don't let that happen. It's not as intense as fear and it's not as powerful as anger, but it's a little red flag going, do you want to fix this situation before it becomes worse? That's a good thing. Well, sometimes we don't want to deal with the issue, our anxiety. We take a medication, so we ignore it. No, let's take the negative emotions and turn them into something positive and powerful. You have to pursue peace by being honest with yourself so you can be sincere with others. And people really do trust that, and they appreciate that, and they respect that. When I was giving some free personality profiles at the library this week, because I had a room reserved, but the meeting itself was canceled, so I went around to the homeless residents that were staying around the library, the Burton Barr Library, and I said, okay, anybody who wants a free personality profile, I usually charge $300, I'll give it to you for free. Two ladies came in. And they were sensory judgers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my oldest son is a sensory judger. I haven't seen him in 2 months, and I was so excited that they were there. I said, I want to read your guys' profiles to you. So I read them, their profiles, and they loved it. They were so excited. And I said, just bear with me because I'm going to be thinking about my son. This is my son to the T, and I miss him desperately. So yeah, this is really exciting for me to read to you. And they both walked out. Very different people. When they came in, they were tired and they were irritated and they were suspicious and they were angry. When they walked out, they were happy and they were grateful and they were excited and they were optimistic. And one of them actually said, can I give you a hug? And I said, I would love it if you did. Thank you so much. I need a hug right now just because I'm not going to see my son for a week. I'm going up to Seattle next week. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself, who do you trust? Who do you appreciate? How do you show your respect? Do you understand the power that your energy has? And who do you feel accountable to? You can take any negative situation and make it positive. When you learn about people and when you learn about yourself, you're empowering yourself to take action, to make good things happen in the world. You might not be able to change the world as a whole, but you can change the world that you're in. That's the people surrounding you. Understand that your synergy is what you create when you come together with people. You're either going to make them better or worse when they walk away from you. So take advantage of the opportunities to make people better and appreciate the good people in your life. Draw more good people to you and work with them. Get the power going to make good changes in your life, in their life, and in the world around you. This is BBS Radio. And again, if you actually have any questions or comments, you can email me to, synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. I'll read any of the emails that you write in the next week and answer the questions on the show next week, same time, 8 a.m. Sunday morning Pacific time, 11 Eastern time. Thank you so much for listening to Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Have a great week.